Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. This is a new year we are about to embark upon, 2026. Is that correct? All right, good. Awesome. So I was going to make a little joke, 6-7, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Anyway, just welcome those of you who are visitors here at FBC Thibodaux, welcome to this local congregation. Members, always excited to see you when you make it a priority to gather here together as a church. It is important. It is important to the church. It is important to Christ. So thank you for coming and worshiping the Lord on this Lord's Day. I want to focus on a sermon just to kind of encourage your hearts as we pursue this new year, so you can have things, right priorities and right perspectives. And I want Jesus to speak to us this morning through his word. So the title of today's sermon is Building on a Firm Foundation. Building on a Firm Foundation. So I want you to ask yourself, in the year 2026, what foundation are you building on? Are you building on the rock who is Christ and his teachings? Are you building on the philosophy of this world? It's like sand and will fall away and fade away when the rain and the storms and all of that comes. What will you do? Will you stay or will you move? Right? If you have ever lived in a city, a large city, or maybe visited a city, you probably have had the chance to watch a skyscraper under construction, right? And what you would do is you would see for the first 6 months of the skyscraper being built, they would first, the first 6 months, they would dig deep into the ground, find a foundation and build a foundation, and then build a skyscraper on that foundation. And you might say, it's just crazy. It seems absurd for someone to even do that. But the foundation is the important aspect of the skyscraper. You see how tall it is, how beautiful it is, but it's the foundation that's keeping that skyscraper stable and firm. You think about a doghouse. A doghouse really doesn't have any foundation. Or even think about a house. A house just have this concrete slab, right, as a foundation, which is very important. But a skyscraper, the foundation is even more important. But when we relate this to our spiritual life, I need you to get this. Come in closer. Get this and write this down if you can. Our upward potential, or potential, is totally dependent on the foundation that is built underneath it. Do you get this? What foundation are you building on? Because it will determine your upward potential. Are you building your life on the desires of this world? Are you building your life on Christ, who is the solid rock? These words were engraved on the Cathedral of Lübeck in Germany. Come closer and get this. Read this. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and seek me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Great words. These are the words Jesus is. He's speaking to us this morning through this parable. What foundation are you building upon? So we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus gives a parable about building your life upon a firm foundation. The wise man who builds his house upon the rock. The rock is Jesus and his teachings, and the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And what I like about this is what Jesus is doing here is exactly what Jeremiah did earlier on, right? Like, Jeremiah, in his ministry, called people to choose two ways, the way that leads to life and the way that leads to death. In Jeremiah 21, verse 18, "And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." The psalmist in Psalm 1 does the same thing when he says to you, "Blessed are the one who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he delights himself in the way of the Lord." You see the contrast. Don't delight your ways or your in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk according to the unrighteous way, but delight yourself in the way of God. This is exactly what Jesus is doing. As a matter of fact, in the entire chapter, Jesus has given us like four contrasting images about what we need to pick, the good way or the bad way, the way that leads to life or the way that leads to death. What are they? He speaks of two gates. It shows two paths, two trees that shows two teachers, two claims that shows two professions, two builders that shows two foundations. And each of them tells us that one way leads to heaven and the other way leads to hell. One way leads to life and the other way leads to death. But this morning I want us to see three observations that Jesus makes in this parable. What are the observations? Simple observation. If you've been reading through the text and you're probably asking yourself questions about the text, let's make three simple observations. Observation number one, everyone is building a structure upon some foundation. Everyone, you're building on some foundation. The question is the foundation upon the rock, Jesus, or upon sand that will not stand, that will not stay, that will fade away? We're all building. So don't sit here this morning and say, "Well, you know, I'm not building anything. I'm neutral." No, there's no neutrality here. You're building on something. My prayer this morning is that you will figure out what foundation you are building on. And most importantly, my prayer is that each and every one of you will say, "I'm building on Jesus because he is the rock." Two, both builders are professing Christians. Now, stop. When I say professing Christians, I'm not saying both builders are Christians. Both builders are professing to be Christian. There's only one of them that's a Christian here. It's the one who builds upon the rock. The one who builds upon the sand is not a Christian, but he professes to be a Christian. He comes to church. He sits down. He reads his Bible. He even worships, goes to Sunday school. He professes to be a Christian, but he's not a Christian. So this is an evangelistic sermon for the church, for you, for me. As Peter says, to make sure of your election. As Paul says, to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. So ask yourself, are you truly saved this morning? We can play this Christian game and be lost. And three, the quality of foundation is often not apparent until tested by storms. This is what Jesus says. Both homes, the storms came, the wind came. Both of them were tested by the storm, but only one of them remained. That's the house that was built upon the rock, which is Jesus and his teachings. So join me as we pray this morning. Father, we need you to speak to our hearts. Let us be very introspective here. Let us dive deep within our souls and ask ourselves, are we truly saved? Do we truly belong to Jesus? And God, let us come out of the well of our souls with great enthusiasm, because from that we notice that we're sinners, but we also see the grace of Jesus, and let us praise you and worship you and live for you. And for those who are diving in their souls and realize that they're not saved, let them turn to Jesus and Jesus alone who can save them. So save your people. Those who are saved, sanctify them by your grace and your mercy, so that in 2026 we can live for Jesus. So when the storms come, tribulation comes, trial come, we still worship Jesus. We worship you, we thank you, we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And God's people said, amen, amen. Point number one, everyone is building a structure upon some foundation. This is observation number one that we observe about this parable right here. Jesus portrays life, the life of someone as building, as a building under construction. Do you see it? A building under construction. And we are always constructing our life and building it upon a foundation. But watch this. Come in closer. Get this. This is important for us to observe. If Jesus is saying that our life is like a building under construction, then we must observe this. What we build our lives upon determines the fabric, the direction, and the character of our lives. Do you get this? So if you build your life upon wealth, upon religion, upon work, upon your children, then what are you going to find? You're not going to find Jesus. Notice, all the things that I mentioned are not bad in themselves. Wealth is not bad in itself. The love of money is a problem. So you work in, you have money, you are blessed with it. Praise the Lord. But if you love it, that's a problem. If you're pursuing it, that's a problem. What about religion? Religion is not bad in itself. But if you become self-righteous and your identity is only in your religion, it becomes an issue. Because our identity is in Christ. What about your work? Jesus, the Bible calls for us to work. If you are lazy, you don't eat, according to what the Bible says. To work in is a good thing. But if you find your identity in your work, then it's a problem. What about your children? There are gifts from God. Beautiful gifts from God. As Vodi calls them, viper and diapers. But they're still gifts from God. But listen, if you find your identity in your children, then you're missing out on what it means to build your life upon Jesus. You're not called to build your life upon work, religion, your wealth, your marriage, your children. No, it's Jesus and his teachings. And this is exactly what Jesus wants us to observe here. You know, Jesus, it's like this final puzzle. I don't know about you, but you know, every time I try to make a puzzle, do a puzzle, build a puzzle with my children. And, you know, kids, what they do is they don't know how to put things together when they use it. You know, the second time, pieces are missing. And you don't know that, and you're trying to put a puzzle together with two pieces missing. And you wasted an hour trying to put this together, and you realize right towards the end, two pieces are missing. And you're like, this puzzle cannot be completed. And you're frustrated. And I'm telling you this, coming closer, in this life, you can try to put things together, but if Jesus is not a part of it, it's like this puzzle with missing pieces. Jesus must be the foundation for us. This is what he mentions here. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, Petra, the rock here. This is the word that Jesus gives Peter. A rock that is stable, a rock that does not move. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, watch this. Watch who is the rock. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, notice what the Apostle Paul mentions about the stone. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who is the stone, and who is the foundation, and who is the cornerstone? It is Jesus. And after the resurrection, Peter stated in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. When we were in college at the Nichols, the BCM, we would travel to Mexico to do missions. Monterrey, Mexico, and there was this mountain about 5 to 15 miles away from Monterrey, Mexico. We had to climb up the mountain and work with the people there, share the gospel, love on the people there, have Bible studies with them. And you know, it's been a while. It's been over 25, maybe 26 years, and I remember much about the mission trip, but I do remember there was this massive rock. Y'all remember, those of you, Beth, my wife, Gavin, and Dawn, and Luke, y'all went. You remember that massive rock. And year after year, we would go, and things would change on that mountain, right? Construction would change, new homes, the clothing would change, people would change, they would get older, but the rock will remain the same. Massive rock. And on that rock, they had some proposals that were actually done on that rock. One guy proposed to his wife or his fiance, his girlfriend. There were times of prayer and repentance and confession that was done on that rock. We often went to that rock. But as amazing as that rock was, and it was unmovable, we know in this life it will be moved, because this world will be destroyed. But Jesus will never be moved. That we can build our family, our life, our marriage, our wealth, everything upon Christ and His Word. He is our solid foundation. So can I ask you a series of questions? If you want a construction that will last for this life and for eternity, what are you building your life upon? Who are you building your life upon? I love this hymn. This hymn is called The Solid Rock. And let the words of this hymn speak to your hearts this morning. Here it is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He is the rock. But the next thing we must observe, the next observation, is both builders are professing Christians. You know what's profound about this text? I want to help you with this. Opening your Bibles and seeing verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. By far one of the most profound passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Complex. It's very, very complex, right? So we read in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. I want you to underline this. This is the key here. The one who does the will of my Father. The two builders, the one who builds his house upon the sand, is not doing the will of the Father. The one who builds his house upon the rock, he is doing the will of the Father. He's obeying Jesus' teachings. Then he goes on and he says this. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? Underline this one, done mighty works in your name. Isn't works doing the will of the Father? But the works they're doing is to build upon the sand. They're not doing the will of the Father here. I'll explain it. And then Jesus says, then I declare to them, I never knew you. Here's another phrase to underline. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So all the works you've been doing, lawlessness. It's not the works of the Father. Now stop. Were they not prophesying? Were they not casting out demons? Why is Jesus saying to them here, it's lawlessness? Here is the key. As I was reading this, and this is what God has been really helping me understand, simple obedience to Christ is the key and the heart to living out this Christian life. Simple obedience. Some people will say to you, well, it's the gifts of the Spirit. You speak in tongues, you cast out demons, you do these things. These are extraordinary things. And if you do these things, you are pleasing God. As a matter of fact, they would say churches like us, we're not Spirit-filled because we're not prophesying and speaking in tongues and doing these things. They're saying we're missing out. And all I have to say to them, have you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21? You can do all of these things and still be lost. This is why this text is so difficult, but at the same time, so sobering. My brothers and sisters, what Jesus is looking for from us is if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe upon him, repent from our sins, and place our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for, right? Also, because of that profession and confession, it produces in our hearts obedience to follow Jesus. The fruit of a Christian life is obedience. But do we see this in verses 21 through 23? No. Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And then he continues with the same thought into the next passage of scripture, which is what we're reading right now. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Same thought, obedience. We are called to obey Christ. So we see the builders, both of them are professing Christ. They're both saying, I am a Christian. But only one of them, we see the fruit of obedience in their life, is the one who builds his house upon the rock. The difference is not in their profession concerning Christ, but in their obedience in following Christ. John Stott, this is what he mentions. He says, both members of the visible Christian community, both of them are of the visible Christian community. What does he mean by that? The local church. When you walk into the church, you see people, visible people. They're both members of the visible church. Both read the Bible. They go to church, they listen to sermons, and they even buy Christian books. The main difference here is that the one who builds his house upon the rock is the one who is truly saved. Notice what Jesus calls the one who builds his house upon the sand. Notice in your own Bible, foolish. This Greek word is the word moros. This is where we get our English word moron from, right? You call someone a moron. Well, Jesus calls this person who builds his house upon the sand a moron. Why? It's because he heard the word of Christ proclaim. He's pretending to be a Christian, yet he is not living like a Christian. And Jesus says, you are a moron. Because you build your house upon a sand that will not last. it will not last. Coming closer, what do we get from this? Watch this. True discipleship is marked by a life that is hearing the words of Christ and also doing the words of Christ. Hearing and doing, hearing and obeying. This is the motif of the Bible, Old and New Testament. You claim to be a believer in Christ, then live like one. Be convicted like one. What do you mean, Kevin? Well, I'm glad you asked. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, is telling us it's not just about hearing the word, but doing the word. It's not just about your profession and your confession. It's about your obedience, that you need to live out the Christian life. John tells us the same thing. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, he says this, "By and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." How do you know God? How do you know that you're in a relationship with God? You please him and you obey him. Again, obedience is not what makes you saved. Obedience is the result of being saved. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandment is a what? What, John? He's a liar. Don't say you know God and you're not convicted by sin. Don't say you know God and you support homosexuality and you support abortion and you support adultery and you support all kinds of sin. No. You can't say you know God and go against his word. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. You keep his word. That's the man who builds his house upon the rock. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So walk like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. I think about the man who builds his house upon the rock, and I think of this one young man by the name of William Bourdain. William Bourdain graduated at Yale, very intelligent young man. He's from a very wealthy family. But after graduation, he felt the calling of God to go to China and to be a missionary. His friends mocked him and said to him, "Why are you going to throw away your life in some foreign country when you can have such enjoyable and worthwhile life here?" is what they told him. But nevertheless, he continued and he desired to pursue exactly what God called him to. On his way to China, he stopped in Egypt. He got really sick. William Bourdain got so sick he never recovered. But he knew he was going to die. So he grabbed a pen and paper and he wrote to his friends. And the note said these simple phrases: "No reserve, no regret, no retreat." Wow. This is a man who built his house upon the rock. How could he say something like this? Because his foundation was Jesus Christ. And he knew the moment he died, he closed his eyes on this side of heaven and he opened his eyes on the other side of eternity, he would be with Jesus. And then his good master would say to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." This is a man who built his house upon a rock, which is Jesus Christ. What are you building your life upon? Final observation. Number three, the quality of the foundation is often not apparent until tested by storms. Both foundations came under the pressure that was affected by the storms, the rain, the flood, the winds. You see it here, right? Hardship, persecution is what Jesus is saying to the believers, to the church, the visible church. You were tested by trials, temptation, tribulations, right? Persecutions. That's why I said to you, God is the master disciple maker. And in his discipleship, he uses three things: the word, people, trials and tribulations in our life to mold us and to shape us to look more and more like Jesus. So when you are under trial, God's beloved, when you are under trial, when you are under difficulties, listen, instead of retreating, turn to the master and say to the master, "Oh, master, do you see your reflection in me? Oh, master, are you pleased?" This is exactly what we notice here. The storms, the wind, the rain came. In Matthew 13, verses 20 through 21, Matthew, with the parable of the sower, this is what he mentioned to us concerning persecution. "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while." Here it is. "And when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." That's the man who builds his house upon the sand. If persecution comes, he falls away. He runs. I mean, we understand hurricanes in South Louisiana. Now, we've experienced a plethora of hurricanes. And now there are different codes, and building a home depends on where you are, that you have to elevate your home, right? We understand that. We understand also when a hurricane comes that we prepare ourselves. We pray that our house is on a solid foundation, that when it's past, when it's over, that our house will stand. We get that in South Louisiana. And Jesus says, in the same way that we are tested by trials and tribulation. Notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, he says this, "And he is like a man building." This is what Luke does. Luke gives us a little bit more information about this man who builds his house upon the rock. This is Luke's rendition of the same story. He says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep." He's building the skyscraper. And in the same way, the Christian life, that's what we're doing. "Dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built." Only with Jesus this will last. Only with Jesus. But notice with me very carefully, my friends. I need you to see this coming closer and write this down if you can. A life that is built on Jesus will stand even in the midst of tribulation of this life or the judgments of eternity. It will. The story was told about a doctor by the name of Dr. Joseph Parker. He was an English preacher who had his doctorate. He proclaimed the word of God in the great city of Temple of London. And in his autobiography, he write about how the theories of this world was kind of pulling him away from the things of Christ, that he was so focused on the theories of this world. And God grabbed his attention when his wife got sick. and his wife passed away. And when his wife passed away, he tried to use those theories of this world to stand on, and he realized he couldn't stand on the theories of this world. So he turned to the simplicity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God left his throne, was born a virgin birth. He lived a perfect life, and he became the perfect sacrifice. That he was crucified, that he died, that he was placed in a tomb, and he resurrected from the tomb. Spent 40 days with his disciples teaching them, ascended into heaven, and he's ruling on high. And Dr. Parker said, that was the firm foundation that he stood upon. So addressing his church, let the word of Dr. Parker speak to us today. This is what he mentioned. My brethren, in those hours of darkness, in those hours of my soul's anguish, when filled with doubt and trembling in fear, I bethought myself of the old gospel of redemption alone through the blood of Christ, the gospel that I had preached in those early days. And I put my foot down on that, and my brethren, I found firm standing. I stand there today, and I shall die resting upon that blessed, glorious truth of salvation alone through the precious blood of Christ. So as we think of this passage of Scripture, as we think of this new year in 2026, as you dig, each and every one of us, we're digging. Some dig deeper than others, but we're digging, and we're trying to find a foundation. But let me ask you this question. Whose foundation are you building upon? Is it the teachings of Jesus and Jesus himself, or the philosophies of this world and the theories of this world and the love of this world? I pray that each and every one of you in this room, you are building on Jesus' foundation. Will you do this? Will you turn to Christ? Will you turn to what Christ calls for you to be as a wife and as a husband? As an employee? What Christ is calling for you to be as a parent, as a child, as a neighbor, as a friend? What Christ is calling for you to be as a citizen of heaven? My prayer is that you will do this. Join me as we pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. There is major conviction even in my own heart to live for Jesus. God, I'm not called to do this by myself. The Spirit of God is walking with me, walking with us to live for Jesus. Let us be convicted in the simple things. And let us obey Jesus in the simple things. Please, oh Lord. Sometimes we look for the big things, but the simple things are what you're calling for us to obey. And as we obey in the simple things, it's going to help us in the big things. Please. I pray for our hearts here at FBC Thibodaux that you will shape us to look more and more like you. God, we worship you. We exalt you. And we thank you. Amen.